Hey, Manjit, I will sell you this pen for $1 million.
Nah, I'm okay, thanks.
Just buy it.
No.
Buy the pen.
No.
Just buy the damn pen.
You know, you really need to work on your sales skills.
Hey, guys, so this episode is sponsored by Sales Society. As everyone listening knows, part of starting a successful startup is sales. And Sales Society is a place where you can learn sales techniques and tips to grow your business.
Now, we wouldn't bring you something that we haven't tried ourselves. I personally have used Sales Society's courses and learned how to follow up creatively without nagging, how to re-engage those disappearing clients, as well as how to schedule more meetings that result in closing more sales and getting referrals.
And of course, we got you guys an amazing deal. If you head over to the link in the episode description, salessocietymm.com, and put in the offer code YELLA at checkout, you will get 2 months free Gold Pass access, which means you get full access to all the courses, downloadable scripts, audios, videos, and templates. How awesome is that? Now, Manjit, let me tell you a little more about this pen.
Hey guys, welcome to the season finale of Yalla, season one. On this episode, we're going to be meeting with Bella and Fahim. We're going to be preparing our pitch to investors, and we take a quick walk down memory lane. So join us for this final episode of Yalla. Hi, welcome to Yalla. I'm Majid.
And I'm Mishari. And we're starting a podcast company.
So I listen to a lot of podcasts.
And I've made a podcast before. So I guess we're qualified?
What's the worst that could happen?
Don't even get me started. Hello.
Hey, buddy, what's up?
Are you ready to record our last episode?
Trying not to get emotional, but yeah, let's get on with the show.
Okay, so do you know what we're talking about today?
Yes, we are talking about financials.
For the first time, Majid knows what we're talking about today. It only took all season. So shall we start with Bella, since that was our first one that we had?
Yeah, let's talk about the meeting with Bella. And for those of you who don't remember,
let's play the clip from episode two, shall we?
Let's go.
You guys are insane. Mm-hmm. No,
I'm curious. What's the?
Okay, so first of all, I love how raw curious I am, and I think there was like six whats, but definitely, you can hear the. She picked it up right away. The dream we had on the page.
I think it was very clear to her that while we had a rough idea of what we wanted, we hadn't kind of really gone in depth into the situation. And yet here we were with a really big ask.
Yeah.
What I'm happy about is, so we went and now just had a meeting with Bella again.
Yep.
With brand new financials, a whole new model.
Mm-hmm.
We've, of course, been working on this for a really long time.
We've been bootstrapping this as well. I mean, we've really redone the costing.
Yeah.
We've stamped down a lot of things,
yep.
Really refined it. And thanks to Layla as well, we've come down to much more of a clear understanding of how money is to be spent.
Exactly. And I think, like, considering we also spent a lot of time in the industry now, because, I mean,
yes.
Think about it. We met Bella in, what was it, September, October?
Oh my
We're
God.
Now in April. So, I mean, there's been a lot of time for us to also understand what we're doing a lot more.
We've been at it this long already. Wow.
So this is actually a clip from our meeting with Bella. I mean, we sat down, we ran her through the model,
mm-hmm.
and she had some questions, and then she actually had this really nice reaction, which I'm going to play for you right now.
So what I really like about what just happened compared to our first meeting is there's already so much more like conviction and understanding. And whereas our first meetings, I would challenge, and then Mishari and Majid would be like, you know? Whereas now, you guys know it, like I'm not an expert on this industry,
no.
right? And I said something that as an outside person seems high, and immediately you guys just convinced me using super strong logic that made complete sense with the understanding of the industry. So that's already such a huge... No, but it's true, and I really hope that doesn't sound patronizing at all. But I mean it. You know, the first time, as I said, they'd be like, "We'll get back to you on this."
Yeah.
You know,
exactly, like
exactly. And now it's like, no, we can do 50% because of XYZ.
Yeah.
So, like, amazing, cool, okay. You guys convinced me on the 50% thing.
So, what do you think?
I'm
I'm really proud of us, because the only reason you're going to get this conviction, this knowledge, and this expertise is because we've been at it this long.
Yeah.
And we've developed really strong working relationships between the three of us.
Yeah, that's
you,
very
myself,
true.
Myself and Leila, we all have our strong suits, mm-hmm. and we all work really well off of each other now.
No, that's very true. And I think Leila really brought a lot to the table.
Of course.
And I mean, you can definitely see it with our numbers, with our understanding of the industry, with our the commercial aspect, really.
Yeah.
Which is the part that you and I were missing so
exactly.
much. And because, you know, we're just up here dreaming our dreams without any kind of tether to reality. And Leila kind of really helped.
What I liked about what Leila's done for us over the period is she's really structured how we communicate with our clients mm-hmm. and how we sell our podcasts to the clients.
Yeah.
Very structured, logical pricing, and we're not shooting in the dark.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is, again, that's a lot of work. I mean, you'd be surprised, listeners, what it takes to get into being able to justify a price for the production that we do. So thanks to Leila for all that work. That's
and
really cool.
There's actually even a reaction from Bella in terms of our actual justifications mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So let's hear more good stuff that Bella
yes.
said about us.
Go, Bella.
Honestly, guys, this looks like really sound logic to me. And again, just leaps and bounds different than the first time I saw the numbers. The logic is completely sound. The numbers look right. Nothing looks crazy here.
So she said it again, logic and the way we've thought through these things.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, you're going to have to translate to anybody the thinking behind your assumptions
yeah.
and the way you're making your argument for some part of your business model.
Yeah.
And back it up with the conviction that you have either what it takes or you know how you're going to get there.
And so, yeah, and to that point, what was really important for me after this meeting was that we meet with someone who hasn't seen our numbers at all.
Exactly.
Hasn't kind of heard what we're doing, and to run them through our idea and see what they have to say.
So how did you find Wissam?
So I actually asked Bella to recommend someone. I was mm-hmm. Listen, Bella, I want someone who can look at our numbers, who's done investing before, who can look at a model and see what they like and don't like about it and challenge it
yeah.
Where necessary. And so she put me in touch with Wissam, and he was kind enough to actually
yeah.
Take the time out. And he even asked for our numbers beforehand so he can go through them. And then, we sat down with him for 2 hours?
Yeah.
Going through everything?
No, it was pretty thorough, and we went through it step by step. And yeah. he had some really cool questions as well.
I wanted to kind of just summarize, for the listeners. So I asked him a question at the end to kind of give us a summary of what he liked and what he didn't like about the idea. So let's give that a listen.
Sure.
So as someone who's invested in other startups as an angel investor.
Yes.
What I want to hear from you is the reasons you would invest in this and the reasons you wouldn't invest in this.
The reason I would invest in it is personal feelings towards podcasting, because I listen to podcasting so much, and I
okay.
listen to different type of, but the type of podcasting that I listen to is, the podcast that I listen to, have you heard the person called Jordan Peterson?
Mm-hmm.
I listen to Sam Harris. I listen mm-hmm. to Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
I listen to
John Carlin at all?
No, I listen to a lot of doctor podcasts.
Okay, so that's from a personal perspective, you would be vested in this?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Why I wouldn't is my confidence in the demographics and how the demographics are going to change. I am not 100% confident about the direction that demographics are going to go, because there's so many uncertainties and so many discussions with so many different people about who we're gonna get as 80% of the population once we come back and look at the at this region in 4 or 5 years.
So how do you think that meeting went?
So I thought it was a really good meeting, not because it ended in a positive note, but we were really walking a line between good or the challenges
mm-hmm.
and the way we were reacting. So it was a nice test.
Yeah.
If anything, we were learning at the same time, a different perspective.
Yep.
To his point about why he would invest, for me, it was very clear that an emotional connection is a significant key to be able to get somebody to invest in a company like this or to believe in a company like this. They believe in the medium.
Yeah.
And he is a big consumer of podcasting. And we found when we speak to people, they're either really big into it or they haven't explored it enough.
Yeah.
And then the challenge on the demographics is really the question of who our listeners are.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned that, well, you know, in 4 to 5 years, but I'd hope, and this is the way I would maybe rebuttal this, is that in 4 or 5 years, we should always be adjusting and understanding who our listeners are.
Yeah.
And so I was very confident at the end of that meeting.
No, I agree with those 2 points. I think what I was happy about was, like I said, taking someone who hadn't spoken to us before, hadn't listened to Yalla, didn't have any idea what we were doing, and then doing the pitch to him and having him actually get it.
Yeah.
Versus the first time we sat down with Bella, where she didn't even understand after we finished pitching that we were going to be running multiple shows at one time.
Sure.
You know what
and
I mean?
Again, that having looked at the numbers, he understands then how we've sort of factored for that. Again, Layla did all the work to put those numbers in line by line.
Yeah, exactly.
And it really comes down to us also getting better at pitching and communicating the company business model and strategy.
So we pitched to him, and then there's like one last person that we need to talk about.
Yeah.
Your brother Fahim. Did you manage to speak to him and show him the numbers?
Yeah, we had a conversation.
Well, we have to take a break, but this should be interesting. We'll be right back, guys.
So this episode is sponsored by Peninsula Farms.
Look, I'm a bar soap guy, always have been, always will be. Please tell me you've tried the product.
I tried it, and I also checked out their website, and apparently the goat milk mixed with the olive oil and coconut are the perfect balance to nourish your skin and cleanse it.
If you guys want to grab some of this, head on over to peninsulafarms.com or click the link in the episode description and treat yourself to some goat milk soap.
It also smells really good, guys.
So Majid, I know you're all about bootstrapping. What if we gave our listeners a chance to save some money as well?
As long as it doesn't cost me any money, I'm down.
So we set up this cool deal with Noon.com. If our listeners buy anything and use coupon code POD15, they get 10% off their purchase.
Wait, do we get to use this as well?
I guess. Why? What are you planning on buying me?
Not gonna happen, buddy. So guys, head over to Noon.com and use coupon code POD15 for 10% off all of your purchases.
Buy me a present. And we're back.
Yes, we are.
So you were saying about Fahim and the numbers?
Yeah. So first of all, we couldn't get a sit down with Fahim. He'd been traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to say, well, I saw him last night quickly. We got in the car together to go to dinner. And so I thought I'd take the opportunity, shoot him the numbers and ask him to quickly take a look at it. And so he was looking at this in the car while we were driving and I was focused on the road. But there were a couple things that he was concerned with. Fahim took a couple of the assumptions and said, look, how are you justifying this and making comparisons to other industries?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I love my brother because he's a realist.
Yeah.
And he also will always go to certain friends or industry people to ask for their opinion.
Right.
So we looked at the comparison to other industries with those assumptions. And in short, came back and said he felt that they were unrealistic.
Okay.
However, I understand that he didn't have a proper look at how we could justify those assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like we've done with the 2 previous meetings we've had, we've gone into quite depth to discuss that. So I will agree to disagree with my brother.
Okay.
So, if there's anything I can respect about Fahim, he'll say it up straight and I'll say it up straight as well. That's his opinion and it's for us to prove him wrong.
So how do you feel after this meeting with Fahim compared to last meeting with Fahim?
For one, I believe, and Bella said this in the way she said, we have the expertise. Mm-hmm. We've been doing this for the last 6 months, more than 6 months. There were already certain things that Faham said in our first meeting that mm-hmm. we have already proved wrong.
Yeah.
And so I believe it's within our power and within our capability to continue to prove him wrong. And okay. I am up for the challenge. And I'm excited by the idea.
So, yeah, I think like we had a meeting with one of your friends, Stuart.
Yeah, so here's the thing.
Yeah.
We also met Stuart on the other day, right? Now, Stuart is a friend of mine. He has his own company. He's been running it also for a good few years. And he's been in the startup phase.
Right.
And we were so lucky to catch him on the day. We had a sit down and he gave us his ideas and feedback. And we didn't record it. So we were also at dinner with him yesterday. So I pulled him aside and I got this recording.
Yes.
So
I'm always super excited when you send me a recording.
Yeah, right? Yeah, look at me hustling hard. And I was very appreciative of him taking the time again to go over because there were some really important points that he brought in terms of looking for investors and understanding what it takes, especially in a seed round, which we are doing, to basically look for people who are willing to invest in your company.
Cool. So I actually have the sound clip here that you sent to me. So let's start from the beginning.
Okay. So we sat down yesterday and we were so blown away by what you had to say. What was it again? Let's do a small intro. You're running your own company. You've been running it for how many years now?
One quick question.
Yeah.
Is this going to be broadcast anywhere?
Do you want it? Yeah, it will be on the podcast, or we may use some of your quotes. So go ahead. If you want to say, like, don't put my name on it.
I could be more candid if it's not going to be released. If you want me to be candid, I can be candid too.
Be candid, and I will ask you.
Okay.
Okay, let's just go with what you said yesterday in the meeting. So on valuation. So we're going to raise funding, and your take was?
Honestly, valuation is, you know, you're putting value on something that isn't easily, the value of which is not easily attained.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you're at the supermarket and you're buying lemon A or lemon B.
Mm-hmm.
And really kind of what investors are looking for, especially when it comes to valuation, is they're just buying a dream.
Okay.
And so
at the seed round, especially.
Right. And so kind of buying the dream and writing this really once, you know, a very unique and potentially once in a lifetime roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
You know, the price of the ticket, a price of admission is very different for every person. And so some people value that ticket far more than other people.
Mm-hmm.
And really, as the startup founding team, is to try and try to convince future investors that the value that you're presenting will actually capture the type of investors that you think will help you over the next 12 or 24 or until in perpetuity.
So on the flip there, it's not about rationalizing the numbers so that on what is very little data to go on.
Yeah, at this stage, all numbers are directional.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which means, and the direction doesn't have to be the degree of the slope of this revenue growth curve is X. It literally is it going to go up at what kind of steps or increments? It's not something that is like a mathematical formula or an algorithm. And it really.
So what I like about what you guys have said so far is the fact that he kind of talks about the assumptions and the numbers and the fact that at this point it's just a seed round, and as long as your numbers are showing the right direction,
yeah,
that's kind of the most important part. But you can't really be sitting there trying to take these numbers as gospel, because they are, at the end of the day, assumptions.
Exactly. If anything, what he was saying was, you've got two things that are happening with a company like this. You are making assumptions and you have a business model that you are trying to implement.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going to happen is you're going to have to be able to convince people who are investing to say, look, we're the right people to be able to go in this direction.
Yeah.
And the direction is there is an upside to what we're doing.
And to that point, there's another part of the conversation you guys had, which I thought was quite pertinent to the whole, we are the right people and who are the right investors.
Exactly.
If it's like within norms, you know, somebody that asks a lot of questions is kind of missing the point. Okay. Like it really is kind of like on it, face value, does it make sense or not? Is there enough upside for you to be excited, to you to continue to be engaged? And if the answer is yes, then this is the perfect investment for you.
Okay, so there was something that I thought was very valuable about how you were approaching investors and the kind of tells and the things you were cautious of that I think was really important about when your time is being wasted and when you actually have somebody about to bite.
Yeah, I mean, startup investing or for any profession or any activity that you do is not for everybody. And startup investing is something that's very unique. It's not something that you learn in school.
Mm-hmm.
So it requires a certain personality to be able to understand it and then to actually to practice it. And so much like I wouldn't recommend my mom to go skydiving, like I wouldn't recommend anybody to be a startup investor I wouldn't recommend anyone to start up a company. And really, the individual is buying the founding team. That's the only thing that is tangible. Like early traction isn't the best indicator of product market fit, not always. And even if there's a product there and there's a little bit of engagement and a little bit of growth and a little bit of revenue, you know, to be able to take that information and extrapolate it 10 years is impossible. Mm-hmm. So the only tangible thing that exists are the founders.
The founders sitting in front of you. Okay.
Right. And so if you're not willing to bet on the founders, then you should under no circumstance invest in the company.
So founders.
Yeah.
And this is what I thought was really interesting. When you're talking about going on what you can measure, what you have a feel for, literally the only thing that's going to be available to you that you can really suss out, and that, as he says, it was like a person-to-person thing, is the founding team.
Yeah.
And why he's making that comment when we were talking longer about this was, if you're going to take on the money of investors into your company, you become the custodians of this money. Your responsibility now is to all your shareholders, which are the people who've invested in you.
Yeah.
What those investors should be measuring and really seeing in the people they're giving the money to is, are they going to take care of my money?
Yeah.
And that, in the sense of a business, is when the business is not generating enough returns or is failing or needs to make a pivot, a change in direction, are they the right team that's going to recognize that and then act on that?
Yeah.
And that, I believe we are that team. I also believe that we have already demonstrated this early when we pivoted away from video and doubled down on audio.
Yeah.
And the idea is not to be emotionally tied in, and I know I'm going on a rant here, but emotionally tied in to a vision.
Yeah.
That at some point you read is unattainable, you have to change. You have to make an adjustment.
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple of things. One, he makes that point about it's not going to be for everyone.
Yeah.
And I think we even experienced that when we go to advertisers. Some advertisers get what we're doing and they're super excited to jump on board and advertise on our podcasts. And some advertisers are just like, huh?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I feel like it's going to be the same way when we go and start to pitch for funding.
Yep.
So that's one point. The second point, when it comes to, I guess, being the custodians, I think we entered this situation from the get-go understanding that we were starting a business.
Yep.
And it wasn't just about what we're passionate about or what we think is cool.
Yeah.
It's about what can be commercially viable.
And what, to that point, what I think is really useful is that it's not just you and me, but Layla's there as well.
Exactly.
And so we've got essentially three different corners, and there's, I don't want to say there's going to always be a majority on one side and favoring the other, but the idea is we've got enough space and different perspectives.
Checks and balances.
There, thanks. Yeah. Checks and balances. So that we're not trapped in drinking our own Kool-Aid, you know,
exactly.
Thinking that, you know, we're going to be, you know, going in this one direction. As soon as something doesn't click, one of us is picking it up and alerting the other two.
Exactly. Yeah. So I guess next week we're going to start to pitch for funding. So how Yeehaw. Do you feel about, I was going to say, how do you feel about that? But I guess it's obvious.
No, let me put it this way. I believe in what we're doing, and I mm-hmm. believe that we're doing something very different and very special. And that gets validated every time we're sitting in front of a client
mm-hmm.
that is getting excited
yeah.
by the kind of feedback and the response we're getting from our listeners, not to mention the people that are discovering us.
Yeah.
Because there are two camps here. There are people that totally get what we're doing and are in our cheerleader camp.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are people that don't know what we're doing and don't get it straight off.
Mm-hmm.
What excites me is getting those people who are transitioning from the I don't know what this is to the cheerleader camp.
Yeah.
That is us bringing on new people. That mm-hmm. is people that are going to learn about the world of podcasting, that are going to become advocates, and ultimately people that will invest in the company. And I thoroughly enjoy the idea of being able to convert people to our side of the team.
So we are doing it. Finneon Media is going to pitch for funding.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be the gauntlet. And there happens to be Ramadan next month.
Yeah, exactly, which is going to make things so much easier for us, right?
Totally different run of the mill here.
Here's hoping people are in a giving mood.
Yes. So I think it's going to be interesting with the kind of time we have.
Yeah.
And also the kind of stuff that we're going to be doing with approaching people.
By the way, guys, if you want to like invest in Finneon Media, feel free to reach out.
Yeah. If you guys have been following us and you think it's interesting, don't hesitate. Reach out to us either via our Instagram, either at Finneon Media.
Yeah.
Or
our website, finneonmedia.com. Like you've got all the things in the episode description. So before we wrap up this episode, which is our final episode.
Yeah.
Can I read you something?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I was thinking about what I wanted to kind of cover in this episode, and I thought it would be cool to go back and check our WhatsApp conversations after our very first meeting.
Seriously? Oh, yeah. Awesome. Cool.
So this is a WhatsApp I woke up to the day after we met and had a discussion about starting Finneon Media.
Okay.
From so you.
This is me writing to you?
Yeah, this is you writing to me. What's up? At 6:46 in the morning.
early to rise.
Yeah. Buddy, totally floored about speaking yesterday on Finneon, in brackets. Is this how we're going to spell it? I'm so stoked and also really honored you picked me. We're going to kill it. And then you go on for four messages trying to pick what kind of platform we're going to use, whether it's Slack or Trello or Evernote for all our project management needs. And I literally woke up to like four messages, which took up like two pages worth. And then I responded with, hey, buddy, I'm super excited as well. I can't wait to get my teeth into this. Right now I use Evernote, Pocket, Slack, and Trello. We use a lot of apps to manage our time.
I'm going to be honest. I'm glad you're project managing.
And then I literally messaged you and I was like, I'm so excited. I literally woke up at 3 a.m. and couldn't fall back asleep. Woke up just now at 9 a.m. after falling back asleep at 7 again. And then you responded, me at 4! With four exclamation points. So this was us literally the day after we decided to do this.
Can I be honest? I'm glad I still feel the same about this.
Oh, okay, I was going to ask.
No, I can tell you, I totally know what that guy in the message is writing because I still feel like that.
Really?
Yeah. Cool. I think what's changed is the maturity of the teamwork we have.
Yeah.
Between you, me, Layla, Mohammed, and Saeb.
Yeah.
The understanding of what it really takes to put something together and what we've done so far, and to have come away from meeting successfully.
Yeah.
I mean, we're learning every day, but that's really rewarding.
I think it's just like, it's crazy to look back and think at like how much we've done.
Yeah.
Considering like where we started and the time period that we've kind of been working with. And also considering the fact that even like you and I, I mean, we didn't know each other that well before starting this journey. I was friends with Hind, your wife. And now to think about like how our level of communication has matured and how we make decisions and stuff like that.
Now, shout out to Hind for letting us use the studio room we're in now. And like, we're at home here right now.
Yeah, we're in Maj's house. We're in a room that was supposed to be used for storage, and Hind is allowing us to use it for a recording studio.
And so like all good, crazy, super successful companies, when you start in a garage, right?
So that's it. I guess it's time to wrap up our story.
Oh my God. So listen, guys, thank you so much for joining us on this journey. Following our story, you guys have been great. This has been a production of Finial Media, recording out of Dubai. Thanks to everyone for listening, and we love your feedback, so keep it coming. Thank you so much. This is Maj Al-Qasimi saying Ma'a Salama.
And I'm Shahid Al-Anezi. Bye, guys. Hey, Majid, I will sell you this pen for $1 million.
Nah, I'm okay, thanks.
Just buy it.
No.
Buy the pen.
No.
Just buy the damn pen.
You know, you really need to work on your sales skills.
Hey, guys. So this episode is sponsored by Sales Society. As everyone listening knows, part of starting a successful startup is sales. And Sales Society is a place where you can learn sales techniques and tips to grow your business.
Now, we wouldn't bring you something that we haven't tried ourselves. I personally have used Sales Society's courses and learned how to follow up creatively without nagging, how to re-engage those disappearing clients, as well as how to schedule more meetings that result in closing more sales and getting referrals.
And of course, we got you guys an amazing deal. If you head over to the link in the episode description, salessocietymm.com, and put in the offer code YELLA at checkout, you will get 2 months free Gold Pass access, which means you get full access to all the courses, downloadable scripts, audios, videos, and templates. How awesome is that? Now, Majid, let me tell you a little more about this pen.